And let's get back into the book of Hebrews and into Hebrews chapter 11. And let us read verses 11 and 12 about Abraham. It says in verse 11, "By faith Abraham, even when he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." Father, we thank you for this word of encouragement to trust you. And we ask that you would encourage us today through this example of Abraham. And we ask that you would inspire us as we preach this and as we participate in hearing, and that we would be blessed from this message and strengthened to persevere. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've kind of entitled, if you please, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews with this title, "That Faith Makes Sense." I started that last week calling it that. That it makes sense to trust God. And that God just doesn't say, "Trust me, here's my promise." He gives a reason why we should trust Him. And today we're going to focus on one big reason we should trust Him. But I also want us to be encouraged with certain facts. We reason with facts, and it makes sense. And I think the most important fact from Hebrews chapter 11 is found in verse 3. Let's read it. "By faith we understand that the universe was formed." How many of you got up at 2, 3 o'clock Friday night, Saturday morning, to see the asteroids and the shooting stars? I got up. Not that I got up for that. I got up because I had to go to the bathroom. But I didn't see anything. Anybody see the shooting stars the other night? Must have been one of the most spectacular things. We believe by faith that God created the whole universe, was formed at God's command. God said, "Let there be light." And there were all kinds of lights. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. To me, this is the greatest reason to believe that God, by a command, made something out of nothing. Everything that we make, we start with what? Something. Even as little kids, I remember my children making mud pies. Anybody ever play in the dirt? And they would make something out of it. We would make pies and we'd cook with it. But there was the dirt. Scientists want to say, "Oh, it all came from the Big Bang." Well, where did the big come from to make a bang? Frankly, I don't believe that. I believe that God created everything out of nothing. No atoms, no molecules, nothing. He just said, "Let there be light," and it was. And we have evidence to reason that because we see the intricacy of the whole universe. God is a creator. We have the evidence to prove it. And it's the greatest point that makes sense about trusting God is that He created everything out of nothing. And therefore, when He promises something in His Word, I believe He can do it as unlogical, as unreasonable it might sound. I've got reason to believe because I see the world around me. I see the macro universe, and I can take a telescope and see the micro universe that is even more fascinating. You've got a whole universe in your body. I saw a movie this week at school called Osmosis Jones. Anybody ever seen that? If you haven't seen it, show it to your kids. And it talks about the intricacy. It's kind of a real life person and this cartoon kind of situation of your body, its cells, and how it works and how it fights disease. It's an amazing thing. God made that out of nothing. You say, I thought God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. Yeah, but he made the dust of the ground. See Osmosis Jones. I think you'll enjoy it and learn from it. Only one of the Jones family has seen it. I hope the rest of them will see it. Nevertheless, last week, we saw how it made sense to trust God by obeying him. God called Abraham, and he said, go from your house, go from your kindred, go from your land to a new land. He was there in Ur, a fabulous city, and he worshiped idols. But now we have a God that talks. Now, what if you always worship idols and they never said anything to you? As I said, you couldn't even, you know, they couldn't carry themselves around, let alone you. You carried them around, and now you're hearing a God, the real God, who talks. That's a reason to believe right there. And he says, leave your homeland. And Abraham trusted God and obeyed. Why? There was a reason. I got a talking God here. He says, I'm living in this great city, and I want you to go, and I'm going to make you a great nation. Pretty good deal, right? And I'm going to give you this city that I'm going to build. Greater than Ur. So there was a reason he obeyed. And as I say, that it makes sense to obey God. Your life will be so much better to trust and obey God. It doesn't make sense to disobey when there's cursings. He wants to bless us. Now, we come to today. Again, it's based on reason. What do you do once you have been given those promises that you're going to become a great nation, as numerous will your descendants be as the stars of the sky, and you have nothing? You have waited 25 years, and now you're too old to make a baby. You're too old to have a baby. What do you do when not only there's not descendants like the sand of the sea, you don't even have one. Not even one. There's nothing. And it seems impossible. What do you do? I say you reason that he who made the universe, he who pointed to the stars of heaven and said, my descendants are going to be like them, that same God who made all those stars of the heaven, because he is creator and he made them out of nothing, and I have nothing in ways to produce it, I trust him. If he can make those stars, he can make some babies. Amen? You go back to the creator, who made something out of nothing. And here I am with nothing, impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. And therefore, we look at and we trust in the Creator who makes all things. And therefore, my message is this. It makes sense to trust God. It makes sense to trust God because God makes the impossible a reality. God makes the impossible a reality out of nothing. All these years you have nothing good. God enjoys, I think, creating. He is the creator. And I think he enjoys taking nothing and making something out of it. I see that pattern. God truly makes a way out of no way. How many of you have ever heard, well, God will make a way out of no way? Right? I believe that. He will make a way out of no way. And frankly, that comes from Scripture too. I believe that in fact, God specializes. I like that song. That God specializes in things thought, our human reasoning, without God. God specializes in things thought impossible. And he will do what no other power can do. And what does he do that no other power can do? Create out of nothing. create out of nothing. He takes your nothingness and he takes his promise and he makes something out of it. Let's go to the book of Genesis before we explain Hebrews chapter 11, 10 through 12. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. God makes the promise in Genesis 12. Approximately 25 years pass by. We have a tension going on here, right? Time makes tension, believe me. If you've got a promise at a certain time, as time goes by, it's like stretching a rubber band. Here's God. He gives you the rubber band, and he says, this is what's going to be. Time marches on, right? You're holding the rubber band. As you walk with the rubber band, right, it gets harder, doesn't it? But if you turn around and you look at who's holding the rubber band, who you're connected to, time doesn't matter. But if you look at each year as you're walking in obedience to God and still nothing happens, and it's pulling on your heart, it's pulling on your mind, why not? Tried Hagar, got Ishmael, that was a mess. And that rubber band just gets tighter and tighter as you go on. And there's this tension between what God has promised and what you do not have and time. What do you do? Do you give up? What happens when you turn loose? Well, it ain't going to pop God, it's going to pop you. How many times have we given up? Because we were concerned about time. We're getting older. Now I can't have a baby. Now I can't produce a baby. Now what? Look to God as creator. For God makes the impossible reality. And as that time went on, it looked like it was less and less possible. But God, you see, there's this intersection, this connection between the impossible and God. How many of you have seen Michelangelo's painting where there's the finger of God, right? And then there's the finger of man. Where they meet in faith is where the impossible becomes not only possible, but reality. See, we've got to keep our finger connected to God, the finger of our heart, the finger of our mind, and realize time ain't truly nothing but a what? A number. Why? Because God is eternal. Well, let's go to Genesis 18. Prior to 18 was 17. God in chapter 17 told Abraham, now he's real old, and now you're going to have that son. And he laughed. See, I thought Abraham was faithful. You see that God presents his people as they were. They were human. They were imperfect. And he laughed. Now, wait a minute. I thought you believed God. He's laughing. Then there was another visitation in chapter 18 and in verse 9. And the Lord asked Abraham, where is your wife Sarah? They asked. There in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said, I will surely return about this time next year. Wait a minute. We've waited 25 years. Next year is going to happen. All right? I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So this is impossible. Right? So impossible, Sarah laughed. Ha, ha, ha. Tell me another one, God. I heard that before. 25 years ago, I couldn't have a baby. I've not been able to have a baby all my life. And so she laughed at God. Now look at God's mercy. God could have zapped her and said, you're going to laugh at me? I'll give me somebody else to have a baby who couldn't have a baby. Look at God's mercy. Look at God's compassion. Look at God's understanding. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out. You ever feel worn out? Waiting for God. Sometimes I say, God, I'm just worn out. I'm just tired. I'm just tired of being tired. Reminds me of the story of the mother who always said that she was tired. And so on her tombstone, she had put in her will, put this, I told y'all I was tired. I told y'all I was tired. May she rest in peace. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, he's an old man, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Now she's laughing to herself. Will I really have a child now that I'm old? And here's the classic verse. We read one earlier. Is anything, this is to you and I, this was to the Hebrews whom he was writing, is anything too hard for God? If God can create something out of nothing, is there anything too hard for God? See, that's the reason of faith. That's why trusting God makes sense, because there's nothing too hard for God. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how big your mountain may be, how deep your ocean may be. God can make a way, a highway through the ocean, the Red Sea. He can make streams flow in the desert. Put your hope in God, the Creator. Nothing's too hard for Him. He says, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. I don't need a young body. Amen? Is this man, I don't know how old he was, but he said, boy, I wish I had a wife 20 years younger. And God made him 90 and left his wife the same. Be careful what you wish for. But this is not wishful. This is the promise of God to Abraham and Sarah, 25 years old. In an impossible situation. I say to you, I submit to you, God waited until it was impossible. God waited until they couldn't do anything. But next year I will return you and have a son. And Sarah was afraid. And so she lied. I didn't laugh. I don't know who that was. It wasn't me. I didn't laugh. And notice how God brings in the frailties of his people. She laughed and then lied. You mean God would still bless her with a baby after she lied? You answer that question. Would he? Are all your blessings because you obeyed? Do you think God owes you something? He owes us nothing. It's all by his grace. God blessed a lying, unbelieving woman for that moment to bear the son through whom all the nations would be blessed. It shows you, too, that they journeyed on their faith, that they matured in it. By next year, that time, I believe Sarah had grown and Abraham had grown, because he lied last year. It shows you that it's all about God. And God had to take them back to school. You know how they say in sports, oh man, LeBron, you know, schooled old George there, some of you who are watching the series. He took him to school. God was taking them through the school of faith. How many of you in school? Right now, any form of school. How many of you take math? Can I see the hands? All right, here's a question for you. This is the same thing that God was schooling Abraham and Sarah in and all of his people. Back to basics. What is 1 times 0? Come on, school kids. What is, okay, I got, don't say it out loud. I got one answer here. What is 1 times 0? Anybody else? Come on, come on. Yes, Meredith. Okay, anybody else? Yes. One times zero. One times zero. Zero. I've got two zeros. I got two zeros. Can I get three? Can I get three? Sold to these two right here. Got a three. Got a three. Got a three. Everybody is saying zero. One times zero is zero. Guess what? Nah. In God's school of faith, the one is God. The zero is nothing. And when God times, when God is factored into nothing, guess what you get? Creation. The universe exists because of God's math. It was one times nothing, and we got everything that you see inwardly and outwardly. Because nothing can change God. See, zero can't change God. Zero changed your number, but zero, oh, I think this is a sermon right here. Zero can't change God. Sarah's zero ability to deliver a baby, to carry a baby, didn't change God and his promises. Abraham's zero to be able to produce seed did not change God's promise and God's purpose. And the same is true in your life. You say, I got a whole bunch of zeros. Whole bunch of bills and a whole bunch of zeros. Listen, trust God to take care of you. We heard that in the offering. This lady gave her everything. She had zero left, but she understood that one, the one true God, times her zero, she would be taken care of. And God was teaching Abraham and Sarah this because, one, God is eternal. He is the Alpha, right? That's the beginning number. And he is the Alpha, the Omega in the Greek alphabet, the last one, the last alphabet. Are you with me? We're to trust in God's power to bring something out of nothing as he did the universe. I'm going to have to hurry here. God times nothing produces his creation. In fact, let's briefly run over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he speaks to us in our lives, in our relationship with God, and how he dealt with us, and how it is dependent upon him. And God is trying to even use these situations of Abraham and Sarah, and even in our lives, to show his glory. We look up at the universe and we see the glory of God. Out of nothing, God commanded something. The same is true in our lives. Let me just turn there quickly. 1 Corinthians. Nope, I missed it. 1 Corinthians chapter, I think I said 1. Yes. Key verse I remembered from years ago. Verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things. God said, God has a sense of humor. You know, y'all are just fools. Why would God call a bunch of foolish people? But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. The great philosophers, the great intellects of the world, God doesn't call many of those, but God chose the weak things of the world. Even people who would laugh in his face then lie about it. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And he says, and he chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and things that are not. You know what a knot looks like? Everybody tie a knot. What does it look like? I got a knot in one of my shoes. I can't get it out. But when I look at that thing, what do I see? A zero. A knot looks like a zero. Now, we're created in God's image, and we have value in that way, but it's speaking spiritually because we are radically corrupted. He chose, and compared to him, we're zero. Really? Really? And the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. So that, look at this, no one will boast before God. Oh, God chose me because I could have this baby, you know, and Sarah, you know, our lineage and so forth. He chose us. No, God chose Abraham, a stone called pagan. Abraham, when God called him, was worshiping carved images. He was not a holy man. In fact, Romans 4 implies that he was wicked. We know he pimped his wife off twice. And lied and said, that's not my wife, that's my sister. Even though she may have been his half-sister, it was still his wife. What kind of man would do that? A foolish man. I'm a foolish man. I'm a sinner. Saved by the grace of God. God is what makes us something. So that no one can boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. He's our wisdom. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Because one times zero equals the one great God. And he gets all the glory. Now, let's go to Romans 4 very quickly. And we'll get to Hebrews 11 in a moment. But this is setting it all up. This is getting across to us that it makes sense to trust God when we realize that, hey, it's impossible for us. Jesus would, you know, after preaching about divorce and remarriage, and his disciples said, man, if we have to stay with one woman, I'm paraphrasing, ain't none of us going to make it. That's how free divorce was, isn't it? He said, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible, especially those things that are of his will. Romans chapter 4, we read about Abraham and Sarah. Romans chapter 4. Notice he talks about Abraham in verse throughout here, but he says in the latter part of verse 5, God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Then he mentions not only Abraham being wicked, he mentions David being wicked for his adultery and his murder and conspiracy to murder. And David proclaimed in Psalm 32, blessed is the man that God does not count. Here we go into math again. His sins against him, because Jesus and his sacrifice times our unrighteousness, which equals a zero, and even that which we have is like filthy rags, equals one, the righteousness of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Now, look at verse 16 of Romans 4. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. Can't come by us. So that it may be grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, that is, of the Jews, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Now watch this. As it is written, God said to him in the beginning, I have made you a father of many nations. When he couldn't have a single child, it was zero. But I've made you the father of many nations, because God only has to speak it and command it. It doesn't depend on Abraham or Sarah's ability. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God, notice, who gives life to the dead. Can a dead person do anything? Zero, right? Nothing. And calls things that are not. He was not the father of anybody except Ishmael, and that was a mistake, a sin. Nobody's a mistake. God had a purpose for Ishmael's life too. I want to go into that. But it's supposed to be by faith. Now watch this. He calls things that are not as though they were. Abraham, you're the father of many nations. That's why I changed your name from Abram to Abraham, the father of many. I'm calling you that even though you don't have a single child. Because God specializes in impossible situations. And God is the creator of Isaac. Did not Mary say, I'm a virgin? You said I'm going to have a child? How can this be? What did the angel of the Lord say to Mary? She said, I've never been with a man. How am I going to have a baby? There's nothing too hard for God. You believe that in your own life? Now watch this, verse 18. Against all hope, looking at it materially and physically, Abraham, in hope, believed, so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. It was through faith. Because he reasoned, God can do this. I can't. He reasoned that God takes the impossible and makes it possible, yea, reality. Without weakening in his faith. Wait a minute, did he laugh? Yes, but he grew. God takes our weaknesses and we learn from them. He even takes our sins and we learn from them. God doesn't waste anything with his people. He has all things to work together for the good. He faced the fact. Now watch this. Reason, the reason of faith. He faced the fact. God doesn't ask us to deny facts. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb also was dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Faith in God makes the impossible possible, makes that possible way more than possible, but a reality. Now, let me explain to you Hebrews 11. As I said, that was just the introduction. Verses 11 through 12 in the next couple of minutes. Turn there with me to Hebrews 11. And verse 11 and 12. Read this with me. Let us come and reason together by faith. Abraham, when he was past age, that all the rest was a background to understand this, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled. That is because he did not have the ability. He needed the enabling of God. That is how it is in our lives. We don't have the ability, but we depend on the grace of God, the empowering, enabling presence of God to become. See, he was enabled. Sarah was enabled with him to become a father, a mother, because he considered him faithful. He looked at the creation. If God can call the universe into existence out of nothing, he can call this baby out of me and Sarah, and it's impossible for us to do it. He considered him faithful. Consider him. If you don't remember anything else from this sermon, that when things seem impossible, consider him, not your circumstances. He doesn't expect you to go into denial. Well, you know, I'm not sick. You know, yeah, I'm sick. You know, you hear people talking about, you know, I'm healed. By his stripes, we are healed. They misinterpret that. Talking about through Christ's stripes, our sins are forgiven and we're healed spiritually. And they think it applies to being healed already. If you don't feel good, you don't feel good. You come to God with nothing. God, I don't feel good. God, I'm sick and I'm depending on you. God, I'm broke. You promised to take care of me. I come to you with nothing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will be filled. He doesn't say that like that. I'm putting it another way. He understood his situation and he brought it to God. He brought it to God and he believed God. In verse 11, he was enabled and he considered him faithful. Consider God. Get that out of it. Consider him as a creator who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand of the seashore. God is able. He's more than able. What can we get out of this? What God actually promises he will do, no matter how it looks. Now, some people look in the scripture and say, oh, God has promised to make me rich. He hasn't promised that. You got to make sure you're properly interpreting what God says. All right? And it makes sense to trust God, who specializes in making the impossible reality. Secondly, we got the math down now, don't we? Right? We passed our finals, CRCT, E, end of course testing, all that. All you've been through school, you passed that. Now you got to pass this test. And I hope I've taught you well through God's empowerment today that 1 times 0 equals the creative power of God to bring forth into our lives those things that he has ordained. Great is his faithfulness. Another thing, God has enabled us to believe, to be the vessel through which he works. Just like he chose Abraham and Sarah to be the vessel through which, as he said, all the nations of the world will be blessed. God wants to use you to be a blessing to others, to bring forth the promised seed. And that promised seed really was not Isaac, it was Jesus. And through the way you live, people see Jesus, the promise. And then in sharing what God has done in your life through Jesus, not because you were so good, but in spite of you. And through all of that, God will have you to be a blessing. So remember that God makes the impossible possible, the reality of his promise fulfilled in your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are a real God who chose real people, some of which, and all of us, in pretty bad shape. The foolish things of the world. Unbelievers. People who laugh in your face. Sinners. Thank you, Lord, that it is based upon the faithfulness of you. Great is your faithfulness. Help us when we face those things that seem impossible to realize that you especially like showing your glory. And Father, help us to trust you to the very end. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.